Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 15th year. This week, the GGB Podcast sits down with Paul Pellizzari, the Vice President of Global Social Responsibility for Hard Rock International, on the company's new Player's Edge program and how it will impact Hard Rock stakeholders and the entire industry. Today's GGB Podcast is brought to you by GLI, staging its annual Regulators Roundtable, coming in 2 weeks on March 4th and 5th in Las Vegas. Visit GamingLabs.com for information and registration. Hard Rock International runs casinos around the world, so a major responsible gaming program like Player's Edge will make a difference. Paul Pellizzari was recently hired as Hard Rock's Vice President of Global Social Responsibility and is responsible for implementing the program. Pellizzari discusses the different aspects of Player's Edge, from the education of the players to the recognition by employees of symptoms of problem gambling. He talks about the research that went into Player's Edge and why he believes it will be an important cog in the wheel that will be able to truly help patrons afflicted with problem gambling. He spoke with me at the GGB offices in Las Vegas soon after the program was announced in December. We knew it all along. We were liberated from the fall. Paul Pellizzari, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. It's good to see you here in Las Vegas, and congratulations on the announcement of the Player's Edge program. It sounds like an exciting program. I'm looking forward to hearing how it's going to be implemented. So why don't you get start with telling us how what was the idea behind it and you know what the goals are.
Thanks, Roger. When we think about responsible gaming and the roles that operators can play and our employees can play, one of the most important things we can do is to help prevent problems from starting in the first place for our players. And there's a big opportunity for us to improve gambling literacy. So how do different types of players understand the games, understand their own habits, learn how to develop positive play habits, and keep themselves safe? So there was a need, and we see the opportunity to be able to provide more education, support, and messages for all types of players. That's really the opportunity that Player's Edge is aimed at.
Okay. So a lot of this is education, as you mentioned. Do you have any data that shows that people who gamble don't really understand what they're doing?
So I've been doing responsible gaming work for 12 years and have read a lot of the academic literature, a lot of the industry literature, done a lot of research with players in North America, and I've had the opportunity to go around the world and see other jurisdictions. And generally speaking, gambling literacy is not at a high level.
Right.
And what we've learned is that where do gamblers learn their information? Well, often they learn it from other gamblers. They might learn it online. But the opportunity to provide authoritative, trustworthy information from gaming operators, really it's about a better player experience, and that's what we want to do.
Right.
So our research shows us that there's an opportunity to educate players. But the thing that we think is different and hopefully going to have an impact with Player's Edge is we look at different segments of players. What do new players need? What do casual players need? How are they different from each other?
Sure.
What do regular players need? And then people who are getting into risk and harmful parts of the spectrum, how do we help them?
Okay. Well, I was the founding editor of Casino Player magazine back in the late 80s and found that there was a terrible illiteracy when it came to people who were gambling. They didn't know what the odds were. They didn't know, you know, how to play the games correctly, that kind of thing, how to reduce the house edge. Are these things that you're hoping to teach players who aren't aware of that?
Everything you just listed is going to be part of Player's Edge. That's exactly right. We want people to have a good experience. And if people, you know, when you think about what is the essence of what we sell as casino operators offering gambling, really it's the entertainment value of risk. We sell risk.
Right.
So we need, I think it's, we're going to help our players have a better experience. If we explain to them, how do the games work? What's the etiquette like in the casino? What kinds of strategies can you apply? And here we're often just talking about really making a plan for how you're going to spend your money and identifying if you are chasing losses and what that means. But Showing people that, you know, there is no system for roulette. Right. Basic things like how to, you know, why should I split eights and aces in blackjack? These are the kinds of things that we can help newer and more casual players understand so they're more comfortable. Right. And for regular players, it's really a focus on getting them to understand their own behavior and look for signs of risk.
Right. And telling them why they shouldn't split tens, right? I know that gets people a little bit upset at the table when that happens.
Right.
So that's part of the etiquette, I imagine. Before we got started, I was explaining to you I was very interested in the GameSense program developed in British Columbia and introduced in Massachusetts. So I went to the Massachusetts first place that opened in Massachusetts at Plain Ridge Racino there, and I was very impressed with what they were doing, how they were trying to educate players. For example, when players would come in, they'd ask them, you know, what are you looking for? Are you looking for a big win, or do you want to play longer? You know, and those that were more comfortable with the higher volatility, they'd steer them toward, you know, the machines with the big jackpots, and those who just wanted to sit and play for 3 or 4 hours, they'd steer them toward the low volatility machines. Are those the kind of things also that you want to teach your players?
Absolutely, understanding the kind of gaming experience people want to have and the kind of risk they're willing to take, the kind of budgets they have, that is absolutely the kind of information that we're trying to provide here. And it's one of the things that we're doing. So Player's Edge is an education program. It's going to have messages and collateral on the gaming floor. It's going to have digital messages. We're going to have a direct relationship with our players through loyalty marketing and integrating it into commercial marketing. The other key piece, though, and one of the things we're currently rolling out with Player's Edge is training our employees. So we've done two different trainings. One is a half an hour online module for all guest-facing employees. And then I'm currently in the middle of going around all our properties and training supervisors and managers. This is a two-hour classroom training where we – again, it's based on the Player's Edge concepts and principles about how do we help each different segment and what can we do? How can we help them find their game? And those kinds of things, because employees are a very important touch point. And changing culture on the casino floor is one of the things we're trying to do as well.
No question about that. And I guess that in Massachusetts, they actually had employees that were part of the GameSense program. But so you're using your in-house employees for this.
That's right. The approach we're taking here is that all of our employees are really the touch points with our players. So over time, we're training everyone to understand and how to have different kinds of conversations. How do you have a conversation about the realities of a slot machine with somebody, you know, who's just, you know, they've got the wrong idea about how it works? How do we do that without ruining their experience? It's a positive guest experience. But that really is our frontline touch point. It's all of our employees, and they have a role to play. We're going to mature the culture, and we're going to define specific roles for particular employees, particular types of employees on the floor. That will be coming, you know, next year and the year after. So it's a process of gradually changing what different employees do on the gaming floor.
So do you have to sign up for this program? Obviously, you're a loyalty card owner to begin with, but do you sign up for the program itself and then learn, or how does that work?
That's a great question, and The launch that we're doing right now is a set of six basic messages that are available for everybody. So currently, they're going to be available for everybody on the gaming floor. As we move forward, as we grow the program, we are going to be looking to have more direct connections with players, get them to voluntarily participate in contests, activations. And we also will be working with our colleagues in marketing to see how we can integrate this content into other touch points with players through loyalty programs, through other activations.
Through through emails or, or even direct mail, I guess, you know? So in the GameSense program, there was an instance where you can set a limit on your losses, where it will tell you when you reach your limit. Is there an aspect of your program that does that?
So our Ottawa property has precisely that kind of a tool. It's it's a budgeting tool. So right on the slot machine, you can set a time and money budget if you want to. It's voluntary. If you don't want to use the tool, you don't have to. Again, designing these things so that they do not disrupt or put off players is very important. So that's at our Ottawa property, and we're looking to for other opportunities where we can maybe apply those that kind of technology. we're bidding on a property in Athens, Greece.
Mm, right.
We're looking at Barcelona. Mm-hmm. We've been in the hunt in Japan. So those kinds of expansion opportunities, we absolutely talk about those kinds of tools for those markets.
Okay. So how do you identify people that you think may have a problem with gambling, and how do you deal with that when you do?
Yeah, it's a great and important question. The training that we provide our employees has detailed behavior indicators, mm-hmm. red flag signs.
Right.
And we train our employees to say, you will see certain behaviors. Yep. What do those behaviors mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so our employees can see combinations of mm-hmm. risk patterns. So someone who's been there for an extended time is looking agitated and is making certain kinds of comments. For example, if they're to see those three things together, we train them to have an interaction with the player, probe for more information, find out what's going on, and make themselves available to provide supports.
Mm-hmm.
If the player is interested in those, then we will provide either a recommendation for self-exclusion if the person wants it, or getting help services.
Right.
So we also partner with all the agencies in the states and jurisdictions where we operate to build relationship with those treatment providers and those referral services. And we also explain what those referral services are to our employees,
mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because people have been – they know about 1-800 numbers.
Right.
They don't necessarily know the range of services underneath those. So that's the training for employees, and we are actively saying, you know, you have to have these interactions, and we have to be helping people when we see these signs.
Okay. So how far does that go? I mean, are you actually going to back somebody off from playing if you see them, you know, definitely exhibiting all the signs?
Yeah. So I'm always impressed by casino employees and their compassion and their knowledge and their judgment around when situations are getting too intense.
Right.
And so in certain circumstances, if it's extreme, we may involuntarily exclude someone for a 24-hour period. Our employees know how to make those calls. We provide them through the training just clarity on what the behaviors are.
Sure.
So there's a range of options, everything from suggesting someone takes a break.
Mm-hmm.
We'll hold your machine. Maybe today's not your day. It's time to go back to the hotel room.
Right.
More sensitive and serious situations where maybe we are removing someone. But again, our employees know how to do that. We just clarify and give guidance on what the signs are and how to interpret what they're seeing.
And obviously, there's probably a hierarchy. They go to their supervisor, and you know, a frontline employee can't make the decision.
That's right. No, procedure and making sure you have the right staff member there is critical. And so our online training, we train frontline employees to escalate serious situations to supervisors and managers, mm-hmm. and they will get the right people involved if it's a more extreme situation.
Right. So is this going to be an enterprise-wide program for all Hard Rock casinos, even with some that you may not manage?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So Players Edge will be across all Seminole Gaming and Hard Rock branded mm-hmm. properties. So it's all across everywhere we go. And as we open new properties, it will be part of it as well.
Okay. For example, the Biloxi property isn't operated by Hard Rock Management. It's the owners operate.
Yeah, so we have different relationships with different operators, and we have a discussion and show them the value of this.
Sure.
We're really positioning this. This is an advantage to having Hard Rock as your brand,
right?
Because we'll provide this for you, and it's value add for your players.
Okay, and again, it's all voluntary for the players.
So, it is.
Yeah,
that's right.
Are there some jurisdictions where it's not voluntary? Where I know they tried this in Canada, in Nova Scotia, I believe, where the machine shut itself off when you hit a certain level. Is that still operative in Canada anywhere or any other jurisdictions?
So in Ontario, mm-hmm. there's voluntary time and money limits,
right.
similar to what's in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Nova Scotia pulled the program you're talking about,
right.
which was for video lottery terminals. So I looked at those questions very closely. If you want to help players, it has to be designed for players and based on what their needs and behaviors are.
Right.
And some of those programs that have not worked, in my view, they were not they did not sufficiently understand how the player was going to interact with them.
Right.
And you have to be careful.
Yeah, no question about that. So say you identify a player that has a problem. Do you give them those 10 questions that you ask problem gamblers? Have you done any of these things?
That's a great question. We clarify for our employees. It's not your role to diagnose someone's problem.
Of course, right.
And we can provide information to the player on what problem signs look like. But our role is to get that information to them, encourage them to self-reflect, and then to go talk to the professionals. Mm-hmm. So if someone has questions about what their level of problematic play is, we want them to call the 1-800 number and speak to qualified professionals who can help guide them through the range of services that are available. But clarifying for employees, don't diagnose. And some conversations, it's not necessarily appropriate for sure. a casino employee to have those conversations while still providing assistance
and
referrals.
Right, I understand.
Our sponsor this week is GLI, staging its annual North American Regulators Roundtable. The event takes place March 4th and 5th at the Tropicana in Las Vegas. GLI's Roundtable is a two-day educational conference that provides attendees with the opportunity to participate in high-level discussions with industry thought leaders and peers. Registration for GLI's Regulators Roundtable is open now. For information and registration, visit GamingLabs.com and catch the vision for 2020. Now back to our interview.
So, you know, we've seen, you know, the negative reactions from the government in many places like Nova Scotia, you know, in many of the Australian states, we've experienced that. And the industry really was a little slow to respond to those kind of things. Was this program trying to get out front of any of those problems, any of that government interference so that you know, we show that we're a responsible industry?
The effect of this program, if it's successful, will address those things.
Yeah.
This program starts by how do we actually help players in a way that's realistic,
right.
consistent with what our role is.
Mm-hmm.
And we think we've thought it through in terms of being comprehensive around the needs and making sure that all needs are supported.
Right.
When you do that and you explain it to governments and regulators, they understand it
yeah.
and they appreciate the, mm-hmm. the forward approach. So I wouldn't say it's designed necessarily,
right.
but the effect of being effective is that it's generally well received
right.
by governments and
regulators.
And
again, it's being proactive rather than being reactive
That's
to
right.
a problem.
That's right. And these questions I'm fascinated by how the industry evolves
mm-hmm.
because these are pretty basic customer experience issues in many ways
mm-hmm.
that when you frame it the right way, it is perceived as value add to players.
Mm-hmm.
Players are fascinated by how games work,
sure.
what the strategies are,
right. oh, absolutely.
What kind of a player am I. You
mm-hmm.
frame it the right way and Player's Edge, the tone and the look of it
right.
Intends to do that. It is in the player's voice. That's a critical thing with this is it's not some authority – you know, lecturing a player on how to save themselves from themselves.
Right.
It is in the voice of gambler talking to another gambler.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way that we think we can make it effective.
Sure. Well, you know, again, back to when we started Casino Player, we found people didn't really know this stuff. And once we started telling them this stuff, they were very interested in it. You know, in those days, New Jersey used to publish the payback percentage
right.
for every casino. And then we would take that and we'd turn it around. We would make it a payback. There was a whole percentage. And we'd say, this is what the casino pays back to you. And that
right.
that was fascinating. Are you going to get into any of that kind of detail?
Yeah. So obviously, like slot machines, you have to be able to disclose what the
right.
Paid players are and details on how like table games work. All those things are all we're taking all those mandatory. We're making the information relevant in
mm-hmm.
a fresh voice and presented to players. So we will be covering those kinds of things. You also have to be very careful about getting into some of these facts and realities about how games work.
Sure.
Because explaining volatility to a slot player is a very difficult thing.
Mm-hmm.
And explaining they understand it intuitively. But so one of the things we want to do with this information is frame it in ways that is accurate, is helpful, but allows the player to engage the information themselves. And then our employees are there to have a conversation with them if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's you don't want to try to explain too much technical detail because you can either confuse people
right.
or it's just not that engaging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you know, some of the table game rules they've instituted recently, the 6-5 blackjack payoff, for instance, is terribly disadvantaged to the player. Are you going to, like, explain how those rules work, you know, standing on us off 17, that kind of thing?
So one of the things with Player's Edge is we will have a constant stream of fresh information
mm-hmm.
for players. So we're starting pretty basic. And over time, we'll add, you know, different tips and different bits of advice for players. So could there be other particular aspects of table game strategy? Absolutely. That's on mandate for what
mm-hmm.
we're trying to do. We're starting off with this launch fairly basic, just the sort of basic
sure.
how the games work
right.
kind of cards.
Okay.
But
you'll give them access to learning more about the odds if they really want to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I've just become aware recently that there's a lot of technology out there that, that is approaching the problem gambling issue. Have you found any of that to be really useful in this program yet, or you're just starting out small?
We're starting out with basic information. Mm-hmm. Again, I've been in the responsible gaming space for 12 years and have built programs where we used risk analytics online, right. Mm-hmm. For an online registered play, sure. Kind of situation. Have used the time and money budgeting tools. And these things can be very helpful, and I think there's a future for it. You have to be careful and specific about the types of properties that you introduce them to,
sure.
Right? And so the kind of – like we're in Vegas here, the kind of properties we have here,
right.
You have to be very careful before introducing something like that. But one thing that's been interesting as we've been doing the training and the rollout of players' education is that our employees, as we're doing the training, sort of saying, oh, well, we're being trained to look for red flag signs and the approaches to have. Many of the people sort of say, well, you know, we actually can access players' accounts,
right.
If we're there. And maybe if I'm not sure, is this person, you know, looking, yeah. Like it's a dicey situation here? They're the ones who will make the call to sort of say, let's go look at the player data.
Right.
And it can validate, yeah, you know what, we need to have an interaction here.
Sure, sure.
So in that way, we can apply player data immediately. But I do think that over the next 10 or so years, we're going to see data playing a bigger role in how we support people, mm-hmm. with responsible, okay. gaming.
So when you were developing this program, did you consult any of the organizations that are dedicated to responsible gaming, the NCRG, the NCPG, any of those organizations?
So we're lucky because Hard Rock and Seminole Gaming is headquartered in Florida. Mm-hmm. We have a 30-year relationship with the Florida Council for Compulsive Gambling.
Okay.
And so that organization has absolutely been a collaborator on creating, mm-hmm. both the training and the education piece. They work with other academics who we have access to. And they've informed it. I also, again, have been in this space, and I know the literature, and I know what the practices around the jurisdictions. So that's helped inform us. Yeah, we're part of the conversations with the American Gaming Association and the National Center for Problem Gambling, National Council for Responsible Gambling, mm-hmm. and so we have these conversations and are part of the industry dialogue. And yeah, we're always learning from each other.
Okay. You know, we mentioned the GameSense program. I remember speaking when Jeff Freeman was head of the AGA. He said, you know, it's a great program, but we want a program that really fits the entire industry. Is that rational that you can expect something like that, or does each company have to really mold it for their own customers?
My own view on this is that each company, there are basic principles, facts, analysis that are available to understand how to build a good responsible gaming program. I think that it needs to be part of your brand.
Yeah.
It needs to be part of your strategy for customer service.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to vary. So there are common things that can be shared between companies. But I think, like, we've designed Player's Edge to work visually and in terms of its tone and engagement with the players to fit Hard Rock and Seminole Gaming.
Yeah.
And so my own personal view on it is you should always leave that latitude, because each company is going to do it. If you're going to be effective, you're going to do it a bit differently. But you need to build it in so that that's part of your brand and people say, oh, yeah, you know, I know that they give me this information. I know that there's help available if I need it. And I see those messages all the time. And that's, you know, that fits with what Hard Rock is. So,
okay.
So I'm not necessarily a believer in one program for every single company in the industry.
Okay, great. So you've been in the responsible gaming field for 12 years. How has it changed in those 12 years?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it has become much more normalized.
Mm-hmm.
I think people understand better what the role of operators and their employees are.
Mm-hmm.
In the early days, there was a bit more skepticism, I'd say, honestly, from sure. some frontline employees around, well, what are we doing with this stuff? And the other thing is, I think, and part of what we want to do with Player's Edge is I see this as really evolving culture. And so I think there's been some change in terms of culture and what responsible gambling is.
Right.
I still think there's an opportunity to have it be seen as relevant,
mm-hmm.
relevant to players, relevant to employees, and relevant to our business.
Yeah.
I think people are no longer as nervous around, well, if we recommend self-exclusion to somebody, is that going to hurt our business?
Mm-hmm.
You heard those things 12
sure,
years
right.
ago, right? And today you don't.
Yeah.
And they realize that preventing problems and helping to mitigate them actually is part of a sustainable business mm-hmm. model. And I think that's an idea that's more generally accepted today.
Okay. Well, you know, you're from Canada, so you know that there's a lot of research being done at universities. There's almost a little cottage industry, certainly in Australia, on this kind of thing. And some of the research is pretty flimsy. How do you approach when you see that study? And are you going to make you know, the data that you gather in your program available to researchers?
Yeah, as well? Great questions. So first of all, I like research and I like researchers, and I've collaborated with them my entire career, including in the gambling space. I will agree with you that not necessarily all the academic research that's out there is necessarily helpful to the industry. Mm-hmm. That's one way of putting it. Sure. And I believe overall the approach with that – so first of all, we will be evaluating the success of Player's Edge. We will be looking at ways that we are increasing knowledge and mm-hmm. potentially changing behavior. And that can involve both market research and collaborations with other researchers. Mm-hmm. And under the right circumstances, absolutely we'll share data with researchers. Right. But the other thing – and you asked about what's changed in responsible gaming. I think there's now also a much more mature – productive working relationship between operators and mm-hmm. academics, where we can, academics are going to want to study what they want to study, sure. and there's certain things about behavior that aren't necessarily going to be directly applicable to the industry. But we can also collaborate and say, and work with researchers on applied research that helps us develop programming, mm-hmm. helps us evaluate programming. I'm a very strong believer in that, and there are a number of great people out there internationally.
Okay. So you know that. Many of the people afflicted with problem gambling, with compulsive gambling, also have other problems, the comorbidity factor.
Right.
Does this make it that much more difficult to either identify people or work a treatment for them?
Yeah, that's also a very good question. I think the number is something – people who have a serious gambling problem, 95% of them have an issue with something else,
right.
whether
right.
it's alcohol, substances, mm-hmm. nicotine.
Sure.
And so again, we approach this from the role of an operator. People who are in that situation, that's a tough situation, and they've
right.
got a lot of things to deal with. From an operator's perspective, all we can do is when we are having a conversation with somebody like that, when they reveal certain things, we bridge them to the professionals mm-hmm. who can help them. And hopefully those people get help because in those serious situations, they need help if they're going to get on a path to recovery.
No question. Well, Paul, thanks for coming by and talking about this. This is a very important subject, I think, in the industry now, and I think the industry has to definitely be proactive, and this sounds like a promising program. So hope it works, and we'll stay in touch and follow up in a year or so to find out how it's going.
I'm glad to be here, Roger. Thanks very much, and happy to talk to you anytime.
Great. Thanks. Podcast brought to you by GLI, staging its annual Regulators Roundtable in 2 weeks, this March 4th and 5th at the Tropicana in Las Vegas. Visit GamingLabs.com for information and registration. Don't miss this amazing conference. To learn more about responsible gaming and the industry's response to problem gambling, visit GGBMagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry on your desktop every Monday morning, subscribe to GGB News at GGBNews.com. And to attract quality players to your online poker, casino, or sports betting website, visit iGamingPlayer.com. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB Podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify today, and we'll see you next week on the GGB Podcast.